Reality has hit Little Xan now. You feel me? The money probably not coming in the same way.
Stav's trying to get 30 grand out of him to finish up the balance on the G-Wagon.
On the
G-Wagon. And he don't got 30 grand for it.
30 grand when he had who knows how much money
Bro,
at one
that's
point.
A reality like,
I would,
yeah,
I would cut my arm off if Little Xan has $30,000.
It was just 3.5 years prior that on the very same podcast, Lil Xan was sitting back and bragging about owning 3 different Los Angeles apartments.
I have the same one 10 floors up now.
Really?
Yep.
What? Don't you have another one down the street too?
And another one on the same floor.
Why do you have 3 apartments?
One for my parents, one for me and Eli, my hacker, and then one for the hoes.
The hoes?
Despite once being in what seemed like an unlosable situation, it was obvious that over the long run, Lil Xan's failure was not only inevitable, but deserved, and it all began with what seemed to be a poor work ethic, dating all the way back to high school.
So I failed every class up until I dropped out freshman year. I just cannot sit down for 7 hours a day.
Now, we shouldn't make the argument that poor grades in school automatically result in a poor work ethic over the long term. There are simply too many examples of mediocre people performing terribly in school before going on to achieve greatness in a different field. However, there's a bit of a difference between finishing school with bad grades and failing every single class before dropping out in your freshman year of high school, as was the case with Lil Xan, establishing what you might call something like a predisposed naturally poor work ethic.
They could never get Xan to do the shit that he actually had to do for his career. Like, I remember talking to Stat about it and he was constantly frustrated.
There are going to be numerous examples throughout this video of Lil Xan often being unable to do the work whenever it was required. We already discussed him dropping out of school in his freshman year, but it continued into the beginning of his music career when he failed to show up to countless meetings with other big rappers who had given him an opportunity.
He kept missing the meetings.
When at less than 2,000 followers, he'd be noticed by an individual named DJ Foo, who wanted to take Lil Xan to meet a potential manager by the name of Stat Quo, who was an old school sober rapper and manager who had worked with Eminem in the past.
If it wasn't for this guy, I would literally never have been discovered, never met Stat Quo. We wouldn't be doing the No Jumper Day in the Life.
However, as mentioned just prior, despite this insanely big opportunity while still at such a small follower count, Lil Xan kept missing the meetings, either as a result of being disorganized or because he thought the meetings were too good to be true.
It's LA. You can't believe everybody.
It's LA.
It was a time when SoundCloud rappers were popping up left, right, and center to the point that it was becoming a meme. Lil Peep, Lil Skies, Lil Pump with Gucci Gang.
Is Lil Pump actually an artist? Is he a rapper that is truly worth taking seriously? The border between being a musician and being a meme?
So when a song was released to Lyrical Lemonade, titled Betrayed, sung by an artist with a name as stupid as Lil Xanax, people had to click to see if it was a meme or not.
People clicked on it because they were like, we gotta hear what a Lil Xan sounds like, you know what I mean? And then they were actually like pleasantly surprised.
The song was actually pretty decent, creating a perfect storm exploding its popularity.
I've always said that it was just like the perfect combination of the name, the thumbnail, the title, the actual song itself.
It blows my mind, bro.
And shortly thereafter, it would become the most viewed video on all of Cole Bennett's Lyrical Lemonade.
Just how quickly you went from a total nobody to somebody that everybody knew.
It's crazy.
It was so shocking, even for me being like really close to it.
However, countless comments along the lines of, if he kept making music like this, he wouldn't be a joke, hint that after this project, he'll be considered as somewhat of a one-hit wonder, as 6 months later, he'd release his long-anticipated first studio album, which would be met with many negative reviews from individuals like Anthony Fantano.
We're not even at the halfway point of the year yet, and this is one of the worst things I've heard all year.
Whilst failing to achieve a professional review higher than 2 out of 5 stars, or more than 5 out of 10. The reasoning for the poor release would be discussed by Adam22 at a later date, and it was what you might call unsurprising.
Like, I remember when Lil Xan's album came out, right? And I remember having a conversation with Stat and being like, what do you think of the album? Because it was pretty obvious that the album was bad. Xan put in like no work for the album. And I remember having that conversation with him. And if it was up to Stat, Xan would have been sitting in the studio recording every night, and instead he was just doing drugs and having random ass girls come over every night.
The other issue might have been that after the insane success of his single Betrayed, Lil Xan might have been lured into a false sense of security about his future and talent as an artist. He might have felt as though he could now relax a little bit and take his foot off the gas, resulting in one incredible banger to lead the album, followed by 15 other mediocre songs. This is the self-described reason behind why T-Pain's rap career eventually failed, and could certainly have been the same story with Lil Xan.
Everybody's like, it's downhill from here. The analogy was, if you pedal up the hill, you can coast afterwards.
Right, okay.
You just stop working. You have to keep working. What they don't tell you is that you coast totally fine. There's another hill. Mm-hmm. So, you gotta You gotta keep going.
From Lil Xan's perspective, he would state that the poor performance of the album wasn't his fault, or was instead the fault of his management.
I dropped like a mixtape that got way more like positive reviews than my album, and it should have been my album because my first album wasn't put together by me. It was put together by my management, and you know, I love my management, but I mean, they f***ed my first album completely up to the point where I didn't even pick the track list. Or like what songs were going on. It was so rushed.
However, this just revealed another one of Lil Xan's flaws, a lack of personal responsibility. Now, we don't know whose fault it was that the first album flopped, but in reality, it's usually a mix of both parties and is rarely the fault of one person or another. However, Lil Xan is the artist. If you release something publicly under your name and it sucks, you unfortunately have to own the failure. Plus, most of the time, even if it wasn't your fault, people like you way more when you just say, yeah, it was my fault, because it displays humility and the desire to improve. Anyway, despite his first album being a bit of a flop, Lil Xan was still able to maintain his popularity after the initial blow up, because when you look past the dopey personality, minor victim complex, and actually watch him on one of these podcasts, he's a surprisingly likable dude. He's not an arrogant douchebag like, for example, Lil Pump, and generally speaking, he's honest and transparent about the good and bad in his life.
Talk about anything, like, exactly. If you ask me anything, I'll be like, yeah.
His stupid stories about having multiple threesomes in the space of a week make him entertaining to watch and listen to, making him somewhat of a celebrity as opposed to a rapper.
The interviews with Lil Xan always like they get as much as damn near some of my music videos. You know what I mean? Right now, at this moment in my career, I'm more of a celebrity than a rapper. You feel me? Because I can't leave the crib without 10 kids coming up to me right as I leave the door.
However, by the same token, the amount of stories that he has, which are to some extent based on poor life decisions, openly displays his lifestyle filled with a never-ending cycle of short-term pleasure. And this is the problem with so many of these SoundCloud rappers. The branding by default is the glorification of drugs, bringing hoes over to the crib every night, taking out loans to buy cars, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, expensive jewelry. They become so famous and successful while living this kind of life that they actually think that they're on the right path, when in reality, real long-term sustainable success is, at least in part, determined by your ability to avoid these temptations. The other problem with living this kind of lifestyle is that it's usually accompanied by a multitude of poor financial decisions. In the beginning, Lil Xan seemed convinced that this wasn't who he was.
You go crazy hard with expensive clothes and jewelry and ridiculous bullshit, or do you hold on to it? What's going on in your lives
I'm
right
not
now?
Into the you got whole, the... I'm into grills and like MCM. Like I have like a chain, but like it's not like so expensive. It's expensive. Not expensive. I'm not into the whole jewelry.
However, only 6 months later, in a video posted to YouTube once again by No Jumper, this seemed to have changed, as Lil Xan's out of control spending habits and lack of respect for valuable items was put on full display. He'd start by mentioning that he would take any sponsorships as he was low on cash at the time.
Money bag, cream soda, you wanna sponsor me? Do it. I will take any endorsements. I'm broke.
However, he'd then go on to talk about and reenact himself smashing his TV.
I got so mad, I literally walked up in this the other day. I took this skateboard and I was like, then I'm like, I'm mad.
Laugh about ruining a $1,200 hoodie after leaving it on the floor.
So everything's on the floor. Expensive hoodies, $1,200 on the J.
And then go on to purchase 2 copies of the game Destiny with the goal of showing the store some love.
And honestly, 2 copies of Destiny, like, dude, this place is nuts, you know?
Now, you could probably make the argument that this was just Lil Xan spending big whilst the camera was in his face. However, there was plenty of evidence to suggest that off camera, he was also quite unwise with his money. For example, in another No Jumper podcast, he talked about how he'd take 7 of his friends to Universal Studios and pay for everyone's entry just to buy 1 drink before leaving.
I'll take all my homies. I'll spend $700 to take 7 of my friends in there.
Just
to get Butterbeer? Just to get Butterbeer, and we did. And I don't film it or nothing.
In addition to this, Lil Xan would take out a loan to purchase a Mercedes-Benz G-Wagon, the price of which starting at around $130,000.
I'm about to get a G-Wagon.
Nice.
My favorite car, dream car.
Now, if we ignore the fact that Lil Xan would go on to key his own car whilst angry at a later date.
I just did this to my car. Scratched it, keyed it up. I just bought it. Keyed all the way.
The levels of stupidity for this purchase go pretty deep. Taking out a loan to buy a car, moron. Taking out a loan to buy a luxury car just to flex on social media, double moron. Taking out a loan to buy a luxury car just to flex on social media whilst working in a creative profession where you could fall off at any moment, triple moron.
Yo, welcome to Darth Vader. This is my new whip.
She's like a 9 out of 10. She ain't like a 10. She's pretty bad. It's my first car.
However, the stupidity of his G-Wagon purchase was compounded even further when he would host a public event that would ultimately result in an extra $100,000 fine. On the 21st of December 2017, just before he'd buy the car, Lil Xan would make a tweet which read as follows. If you live in the Inland Empire / LA area and want to meet me tonight, pull up to 100 to 110 North 5th Street, Redland CA 92373, United States at 7:30. Now, it's hard to call Xan an idiot for this one. It was still early in his career and the tweet was made only 4 hours prior to the meeting time. He probably expected just a couple of people to show up for photos and autographs, considering the location was also on the very outskirts of LA. Well, as you might guess, this isn't what happened. Around 2,000 people showed up, cars and streets were damaged, and ultimately the police would have to send in the helicopter unit before Lil Xan was arrested for his own safety.
I gave like a 4-hour notice. I was heading to my hometown, so I tweeted a location, and then I just expected, 50 people to show up? That's just how I am. I got there, and this video's on YouTube. It's like 2,000 people showed up.
What?
But I got fined because a lot of damage is to cars and the streets.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And the helicopters came out, and it's like 10 grand every helicopter. It was like Project X with the
It was a 100K bill.
What? Yeah. Really?
Another 100K.
Lil Xan would go on to state that the event postponed his purchase of the G-Wagon.
Do you feel like you learned your lesson about that?
My manager said that it postponed my me getting a G-Wagon, so I was a little upset.
Which could also be interpreted as, over the long run, he was now $100,000 further from owning the car outright.
They sent him a bill for 100 racks. And then I remember having a conversation with him after that, and he's like, damn, bro, it's going to take me so much longer to pay this G-Wagon off.
Another rapper who owned one of these cars was Mac Miller, who happened to be Lil Xan's biggest inspiration in the beginning.
Who's, your biggest inspiration in terms of rapping?
Mac Miller, yeah.
Mac Miller, he's sick, right?
Yeah, he's, a big inspiration.
However, when Mac would unfortunately die only 9 months later, this also seemed to have an effect on Lil Xan's desire to make music.
I'd be, legit crying, in my crib, this ain't true, bro. Mac did not overdose. Mac's still alive. Mac's still here. I just saw Mac 2 weeks ago. When your hero dies, I don't want to make music no more. He was the reason I made music.
In this same interview, Lil Xan would also talk extensively about his desire to quit music and simply become a public figure.
So that's why I'm not doing music after I finished my contract with Columbia. I didn't know what I was signing up for. I'm more of a celebrity than a rapper at this point, so that's why I'm quitting rapping.
And at the end of the day, if he's not enjoying music, the tracks that he does put out won't have the required level of effort in order to compete with other artists who are giving it their all. Lil Xan's attempt to leave music and rather become a celebrity / public figure didn't really work either. After an explosive year on Instagram in 2018, his growth would slow dramatically and has been in continual decline for the last 25 months, leading to an Instagram livestream in December 2021, in which Lil Xan would show that all of his poor decisions from the past were clearly coming back to haunt him.
The industry just doesn't care. They just want you to pump out hit records, and when you're useless to them, just leave you in the dirt.
In this video, Lil Xan would blame his sober, business-minded manager Stat Quo for fueling his drug addiction after he'd supplied Lil Xan with drugs while on tour so he could go out and perform.
And my manager was supplying me with the drugs. He knew all my plugs, so if I couldn't perform because I was withdrawing back then, because yes, I used to be a drug addict, he would call, make calls, send $5,000 out here, $5,000 out here, just to ship the drugs to wherever we're at in the world.
This was just another example of Lil Xan's victim complex and lack of personal responsibility.
So what's he do? He decides, I'm going to go on my Instagram story. I'm going to blame my drug addiction on Stat Quo. It's completely disingenuous. He needed to rely on his manager, who doesn't even do drugs, to get him drugs. Does this make sense to anybody? No.
At a certain point, you just have to accept that your problems are your own and that you can't just run around playing the victim.
After many accused Lil Xan of snitching on his manager, despite he being the one with the drug addiction, Lil Xan would respond by stating that you can't snitch if you're not a gang member.
Oh, you're a snitch now, bro. He didn't make you do that. All this stuff. Bro, how am I a snitch? Did I go to court and rat on my gang? I don't have a gang. You can't snitch if you're not a gang member, bro. Miss me with that. I'm trying to help other artists in particularly my same similar situation.
In the Instagram livestream, Lil Xan would also reveal that his manager had taken the G-Wagon from him, as Lil Xan still owed $30,000 on it, which Lil Xan would state was unreasonable, as he had paid for the majority of it.
Also, he took my car away too, that I paid the majority of the money, and now he wants $30,000 of the remaining money to pay it off, which...
I paid, literally, it's all my money in the car, and he won't give it to me.
Without $30,000 to take full ownership of his G-Wagon, a declining follower count across each of his social media platforms, and no new music in over 7 months, it seems like this could possibly be the end for Little Zan's career.